From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the sixth day of July 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vicks. Hear the USDA take on crop progress in Illinois and Indiana from the state statisticians in those two states. Discuss the agricultural cash grain market with Greg Johnson and take a look at the weather forecast too with Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, September corn for the day settled at $5.99¾. It was up 7.5 cents. December at $5.85, up 6.5. The March corn up 6.25 today at $5.91¼. August soybeans at $14.46½, up 7.25. September at $13.41, up 4. And November beans up 6¾ at $13.22¾. Bean meal futures up $5.20 at $415.60, the bean oil at $58.56, down $1.06. Wheat futures at $8.45, down 2.5 cents for the soft red, the hard red at $8.51½, both of these the September contract down 10.5 cents. Live cattle futures for the day at $134.50, $1.57½ higher. Feeders were up 60 cents at $173.30, and lean hogs at $109.20 per 100 pounds, up $3.25. Crude oil for the day at $97.82 a barrel, down $1.70. The diesel fuel or heating oil 20 cents lower, $3.39¼, and gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB down 9.7 cents to $3.23¼ per gallon. Some of the other markets for the afternoon, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 30,877, down 59 points for the day. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media at willag.org. Jackie Vicks of TotalFarmMarketing.com now joins us to take a look at what's happened in Chicago and to assess a marketplace, Jackie, that has not been very strong this week for sure after the July 4 holiday, even before that. Can you tell me about some of the normal things we talk about? Maybe start with the support and resistance, please.
September corn, 583 and 623. December corn, 554 and 601. And I'm going to add today, Todd, that I looked at money flow because that's usually an indicator of what's going on. And money flow on December corn on a gauge of 0 to 100 is at 18.5. And that's down from 85.2 on the 17th of June. So it's a tremendous drop in money flow coming into that marketplace. March, 565, 621. August, 1395 and 1507. September, 1291 and 1395. November, 1171 and 1378. Money flow in November is at 40. And the last time it took us all the way down to 15.5, which was on June 24th before we actually turned that market around again. So that's a little scary in itself. Gold, August, 1753 and 1784. And here's a really good example of money flow. Currently at 8.6 versus 97.75 in March. So you can see the money flow in gold has just gone away. And I'll be able to tell you where it went in a moment. On the Dow Jones, 30,253 to 31,532. Money flow there is at 38 compared to 64 on the 1st of March. And the dollar, 106.47, 108.62, and money flow is now at 82 in the dollar versus 38 on June 27th. So the money went from gold into the dollar, and that basically is part of what's hurting us in the background here. Now, when we look at the managed money, we went from long 2,000 wheat last week to short 33,000. Long 240,000 corn. And if you remember, I said that that has been a very touchy spot when it comes to the managed money, that we've often tipped on that. 179,000 they're long this week. Soybeans 144 last week, 94 this week. Meal 69 last week, 58 this week. Oil 37 last week, 12,000 this week. Index traders, who of course are hedging inflation, dropped their corn positions by 59,605. beans by 27,663, and wheat by 14,802. And so exports, wheat exports ended up down 14% compared to 12 last week. Corn, 18 versus 18 last week, and beans are 10 behind last year compared to 11 last week.
I have a question about the index traders hedging inflation. Are they agile enough to understand the July and the need to roll out and old and new crop differences? And will they be back, do you suppose, in the September or December contract or November beans?
Well, I personally think they will. And I would, I would be extremely surprised if they were not savvy enough. I mean, you know, they are index traders. So, the other part about the whole thing, Todd, too, is that, you know, the algorithmic trading that's going on, which is fund driven in a lot of cases, too, is reading headlines, taking into account. Personally, I think they're shedding a lot of the demand driven commodities, you know, and it's being driven by a fear of more inflation and recession and, you know, changing of the interest rates due to inflation. If you look at yesterday's big sell-off, the funds sold 23,000 contracts to bean, 12,000 oil, 24,000 corn, 13,000 wheat. I mean, it was just an across-the-board selling that was going on. And so some of that is also related to margin call liquidation, not just for commodities, because we all know that that happens when we have moves like this, but also the Dow. You know, and so we have such a involved market that for anyone who is purely fundamental, they're looking at this and saying, this is garbage. You know, we had big winds last night across South Dakota, northern Nebraska, northern central Iowa, took down trees, 80-mile-an-hour winds took down fields. We don't see any of that in this, but it's because the weather's mixed. You know, we had just-in-time rains. I talked to guys who had 2.5 inches, 3 inches, and in some places now they're complaining because there's too much coming. So you add to that the South American farmer selling corn like he was last week. He still is, to buy more inputs for next year. And that pressures the market something terrible. I think, and underneath all of this, all these rumors that we're hearing that the Trump subsidies against China may be lifted or partially lifted, I think is keeping them on the sidelines, you know. And so it didn't help when they canceled cargoes of beans for August from us last Friday and bought them from Brazil, and Brazil's actually more expensive than we are. So it makes for a very, very difficult situation.
Speaking of Brazil, anything else from them?
Well, they came out with their what they call the Plano Safra harvest plan. And, you know, their harvest plan is would be comparable to our 5-year farm bill, except that they do it every year. And so this year, I mean, they really trump things up. They increased their available funds by 36% compared to last year. Production and marketing, 246 billion real. The investment program's 94.6 billion. That's up 39% and 29%. And so it's just like ours. It gives loans for production, marketing, investments with a subsidized interest rate, depending upon the borrow size of the operation. Now, if you have a very small operation, you can probably get interest rates somewhere between 5 and 6%. You have a large operation, prime interest rate down in Brazil right now is 13.25%. And so I think, you know, when you hear those numbers, we feel pretty blessed at this point in time. But they're scrambling. They really are working hard. And you can see that's why the corn is being sold, too, to buy inputs, because they're very fearful of the availability for this next year, what prices might do for this next year. And so I'll have more for you next week.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Jackie Vake. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 7% of the corn around the nation is now silking. The rolling 5-year average is 11%. The condition of the corn crop, 53% good, 11% excellent, for a total of 64% good to excellent. Last week, those numbers were 55 and 12 for a total of 67%. 5% good to excellent. Soybeans emerged at 96%, right on the 5-year average, blooming at 16%, just behind the 22% average across the nation, and setting pods at 3% is on the rolling 5-year average. The condition of the soybean crop, 54% good, 9% excellent, for a total of 63%. Those numbers were 55 and 10, or 65% last week. The condition of the winter wheat crop still is really poor, at 25% good and 6% excellent. 54% of that crop has been harvested. The rolling 5-year average is 48%. And rounding out our time today, we'll take a look at subsoil moistures across the whole of the nation. 52% adequate this week, 3% excellent, down from the 55 and 4 from last week, and 52 and 6 from the previous year. Now, here are the statisticians in Illinois and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Melissa Bond, Statistical Assistant for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, with the Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. Topsoil moisture conditions rated 7% very short, 27% short, 63% adequate, and 3% surplus. Corn began silking at 2%, 3 days behind last year and 4 days behind average. Corn condition rated 77% good to excellent. 13% of soybeans were blooming, 9 days behind last year and 4 days behind average. Iowa's soybean condition rating was 77% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is the Illinois Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending July 3rd, 2022. Statewide, the average temperature was 73.2 degrees, 1.2 degrees below normal. Precipitation averaged 0.36 inches, 0.64 inches below normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated 11% very short, 33% short, 55% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn silking reached 4% compared to the 5-year average of 17%. Corn condition was rated 2% very poor, 6% poor, 27% fair, 56% good, and 9% excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 9%. Compared to the 5-year average of 21%. Soybean condition was rated 4% very poor, 7% poor, 27% fair, 54% good, and 8% excellent. Winter wheat harvested for grain was 87% compared to the 5-year average of 79%. Alfalfa hay first cutting was 97% complete compared to the 5-year average of 96%. Alfalfa hay second cutting was 32% complete compared to the 5-year average of 40%. Other hay cut was at 95% complete, even with the 5-year average. This has been Steve Parn with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. We're now joined by Greg Johnson of TGM, TotalGrainMarketing.com, from right here in Champaign County to discuss the cash grain market. I'd like to know, first of all, how closely basis followed the markets lower this week, and if it stabilized or broke more than what the commodity markets did for corn and soybeans.
Basis levels have actually stabilized after the sell-off last week. We've seen basis levels stabilize, and in fact, in some areas, they're starting to get better. With the sell-off in the board, prices obviously aren't as good, and farmer selling has slowed down. So some of the processors have actually improved their basis, trying to draw out that last little bit of old crop corn and beans still on farm. So basis levels have definitely stabilized, if not gotten a little bit better this week.
And for new crop?
New crop basis levels, it continues to be a wait and see thing. Not better, not worse. The market's seems to think, anticipate that we are going to have a decent crop, and it looks like in a lot of areas we will. So in those areas, we may anticipate basis levels getting wider. But then here in East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana, where we haven't received as much rain, I think the jury is still out on how big or small the crop may be. And so basis levels have not widened out. And if anything, they may get better if we don't see some rain soon. But like I say, the jury's still out on that. We've still got probably a week to 10 days to try to figure out how big this corn crop is as we enter pollination stage here in about a week or so.
I'm sure producers in your draw area are not happy at the moment.
No, we seem to be in an area, and it seems to be a relatively small area, but we are in an area probably I don't know, 5-6 counties here in Illinois, and maybe a few more counties in west central Indiana that just seem to be missing out on the rain. I think at Willard Airport, they said that it was the fourth driest June on record. They had less than an inch of rain for the entire month of June. And so far here in July, we are continuing that dry trend. So the crops are hanging in there, but we all know that they can't hang in there forever without rain. So we need to see some rain very soon, or else we're going to start seeing reductions in yield estimates here in this area anyway. And so farmers are reluctant to sell until A, we get a rain, or B, prices bounce back up to where they feel a little bit more comfortable selling what little bit they might have.
Tell me about new crop and your expectations for when bids will change from one month to the next.
Right now, we're off of the September futures for corn, and we're off the August futures for beans. I think we'll probably stay, processors and elevators will stay bidding versus the August up until the end of the month of July, and staying off of the September probably until the end of August. So probably got one more month of bidding off the August for beans, two more months of bidding off the September for corn, unless something dramatic changes, which could always happen, but that would be my best guess today.
And that would be pretty normal process.
Yes, yes, very, very normal. You may see basis levels improve as processors and end users try to draw out that last little bit, and then once they do have it bought, then you can see a sharp sell-off as we've seen in the past. You know, once they cover their needs, they really don't need to buy any more, and they don't want to pay $1.50 more for corn when they can get it $1.50 cheaper for new crop. So they'll buy every bit for what they need in an old crop, but once they have those needs covered, then basis levels tend to weaken as we get closer to new crop harvest.
Thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I think we have a lot of ground to cover today. Drew, tell me about the forecast across the Corn Belt.
Well, we are in a very interesting pattern right now. You know, the widespread heavy rains and thunderstorm activity that occurred last night from South Dakota to Ohio will be repeated tonight and again tomorrow night, but each night the area of storminess will shift a little farther to the south. And so by the time we get to the weekend, we should have seen serious amounts of moisture in quite a few areas across the Midwest, including, of course, the heart of Indiana and portions of Illinois that are still very dry. I don't know that I can sit here and tell you we're going to have a fix-all in the sense of getting moisture back up to the point where we don't have to worry about anything for a while, but I do think that we're going to see enough relief here that the crops respond well. Now, the only risk that we have, unfortunately, is that potential that we'll see some of these thunderstorms producing some severe weather. And hail and some damaging wind is still a probability. We have a lot of energy in this atmosphere right now. There's cooler air coming in from the north. There's a lot of heat out there, as everybody knows. It's been very warm and humid, so the atmosphere is poised for a wild couple of nights here. So we want to be aware of that, yeah, above everything else. But I do think that we will get rain to fall across most of Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Michigan is still going to come up a little on the short side. I just don't get a lot of reason here to allow for a lot of rain to occur in Michigan. And all of this occurs over these next 3 days. And after that, we'll be in a cooler air mass that will not be promoting a lot of precipitation. It may not be absolutely dry, but we're not going to see very much in the way of high volume rains after we get through these next few nights. So and it looks like there'll be a reinforcing shot of cool weather yet to next week. And that will likely keep us in this cooler mode and somewhat drier. It'll be great for working outside, but I don't know that we're going to put a lot of moisture in the ground after we're done with these next couple of nights. So that's something to keep in mind. Eventually, it will heat up again. And that's probably a good 10 days away, though.
And do you suppose that that will come with rainfall? And how much rainfall in this next 3 days do you think across a large swath of the Corn Belt?
Yeah, I would say the majority of the region will probably see, we'll say 3/4 of an inch to 2 inches in general. And then I do think there will be some 2 to 4 inch amounts possible in a few areas. Now, the latest model runs today had suggested that maybe central Illinois could be involved with some of that heavier rain, but I'm not ready to completely buy into that. But somebody out there from Iowa to southern Ohio or northern Kentucky will end up with some impressive amounts, getting certainly in that 2 to 4 inch range. But I think the majority will see 3/4 of an inch to a couple of inches. So it's still going to be a lot of variation from one set of counties to another, just going to depend on where those more significant thunderstorms are able to bubble up.
Let's stay in the northern hemisphere, but switch to Europe. I've seen some photos that don't look very good from Italy. What is happening across that continent?
Yeah, they've had a lot of heat and dryness in various locations across the continent here recently. There's also been some crazy thunderstorm activity over there, too, once in a while. It was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago that central France had a little derecho of their own, where there was some serious damage done in central parts of that country. And Italy has certainly had its variety of weather, just like France and much of the rest of Europe. It is very dry right now across portions of Eastern Europe from Slovakia down through the lower Danube River basin into what we call the Balkan countries, which is really Romania and Bulgaria into Serbia and all those other guys there. A lot of dryness down that way. But that's not necessarily as big of a grain production area as France and Germany are. And so the focus of attention right now is actually turning to them because they are in relatively good shape at the moment, but they're going into a 2-week period of hot and dry weather. There will be no rain in this next 10 days for sure, and probably for 2 weeks in France, the UK, and neighboring areas of Spain, and maybe Western Germany. There will be an insurgence of heat that is also expected to occur beginning this coming weekend and lasting through all of next week and into the following weekend. And temperatures will probably be in the 90s and pushing up close to 100 degrees in France, and probably in the upper 80s and lower to middle 90s in Germany. There might be some upper 90s in the western part of Germany. So they will likely start talking a lot about crop moisture stress in the western part of Europe, where the bigger volumes of grain is produced. But in the meantime, it'll turn cooler in Eastern Europe, but it's not going to rain real well over there. So it's still going to be dry in some of those areas I described.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand whenever you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find not only the Closing Market Report, but also our weekly program called Commodity Week, along with information from the Ag Economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, and a way to subscribe to our podcast. Just hit the podcast page, or you can always just search for the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week in your favorite podcast applications. Our theme music for the day is performed and produced by Tim Gleason. I'm Todd Gleason.